Welcome back to Sports Out the Wazoo, sponsored by Capone's, located across from the Turchin Center, 265-1886. Number four, Capone's. Right now, we're talking a little NBA talk, in case you missed it. This is your song right here.
Headbobbing right now.
It's perfect. It's your song. It's your segment. Yeah, I can see you. I wish I didn't, but I see you.
Hey, how about the Bobcats? Wheeling and dealing. I think we're on two separate worlds on this one. Let me say this. I'm torn. I'm like you. I like Tyrus Thomas. I think he's a good fit for the Bobcats. I don't like the Bobcats trades.
I like the Tyrus Thomas trade. I don't like the Theo Ratliff trade. I think
that's a terrible trade.
Yeah, I think the Theo Ratliff trade.
Yeah, I don't even know what was going on there. I think the Spurs were like, okay, you want to take this
guy?
I think the Spurs actually. GM Buford had to say. I think RC Buford had to say. Oh wait, Theo Ratliff's on our team?
Yeah.
Sure. Second rounder for him. Yep. Go ahead.
They pulled him. A little Adams controversy at a Texas Tech. He was probably hiding in the broom closet. Hey, Theo Ratliff. We're hiding you. You're coming out now. Somebody wants you. We're gonna put you to work. This is what I'll say, and I know it's kind of like oxymoronic. How can you like a player but you can't like the trade for him? I don't like what the Bobcats gave up, and it's not the first round pick necessarily. Flip Murray arguably was the best scorer off the bench, and I think he was for the Bobcats. He was a guy who really came in the season supposed to be the third point guard off the bench, moved into the second role. DJ Augustine's now. He's now flung into the second point guard position. You had versatility. You could put Flip and Raymond or Flip and DJ out on the floor at the same time. You can't do that anymore. And I thought the Bobcats, they took depth. They took the depth they had at one position, and they sold it to get depth at another position. And in the end of the day, it's a proverbial wash.
I think we're on the same page as far as the problem that we're with. It's not really the draft pick. It's not AC Law. You can throw AC Law out. He had no bearing on the team whatsoever.
But he was somebody I was intrigued by him because he was somebody apparently is well respected in NBA circles. He's never gotten a chance anywhere he's gone. And the Bobcats they didn't have
a
chance.
He wasn't going to give him a chance. Yeah. So that's just a toss up.
Larry Brown said he was really frustrated because he did not want to give up Flip Murray, but the NBA got a match contract.
Right. Yeah, that was the guy that I had a problem with because I don't even mind giving up the first rounder because my logic is obviously that would have been a beautiful trade if it was AC Law in the first rounder. But either way, if you give up a first rounder, you say, oh, well, imagine the talent we could get. Well, you're getting a guy that's proven that he is decent and has a high ceiling. Whether or not he'll reach that, we'll see.
A former lottery pick for a chance at a guy. He's had attitude issues. A lot of people writing it off and saying, look, he never got a chance.
So did Stephen Jackson.
We'll see how that works with
Stephen Jackson had his
attitude. Larry's been correct in
attitudes. I think it's Stephen Jackson was always a 20 point guy, a game guy.
Well, what about Chauncey Billups? Chauncey Billups was one of those guys that had attitude problems. He went from team to team.
The Pistons took a flyer on him, and it was one of the best moves in there.
I'll say this. This is my problem with the Tyrus Thomas trade in terms of I think people were already applauding it before they'd ever played a game. And the thing of it is, it's so easy to be cliche and say, oh, a change of scenery, it's going to do him good. For every time that has happened and that's been true, and Stephen Jackson's a good indication where it has been true with the Bobcats, there are four or five guys in the NBA where that hasn't worked. How about Darko Milicic? He's bounced around the NBA like a bad penny.
He's just awful. Not good.
No, but that's the thing. He's not good. Terrible. And people said, oh, a change of scenery might do him good, and it never worked out. You talk about a guy in Walter Hermann who was a Bobcat and played well in times, and people said, oh, send him to Detroit. They'll use him. He went to Detroit. Where's Walter Hermann? You could make these sort of indications about everybody in the NBA.
Where's Waldo?
For every one guy that did make a good change of scenery move, there's also probably four or five.
Tyrus Thomas, you know that the talent is there, and he's got a high ceiling.
But the talent's there for everybody in the NBA.
Yeah, but he's got a high ceiling. I mean, you can't compare Walter Hermann and Darko Milicic to Tyrus Thomas. I mean,
Darko Milicic was a top three draft pick. You can compare
that. That was because of the stupidity of the Pistons.
That's in hindsight, Brandon. That's my point. In hindsight, it's easy to say that guy couldn't cut it. That's why I think the same is true of the Bobcats.
This guy's proven, though. At least he's
proven to point 8 points a game off the bench. I mean, what's proven? That's not good.
He's shown flashes where he can be a star.
Flashes. Darko Milicic showed flashes.
In two games with the Bobcats, he's already had 20 plus points and 20 plus rebounds combined. He's giving you about a double, a double double every night, and that's all you can ask from him.
But once again, what are you expecting from this guy? Because if you trade,
you're not looking for a star
boards,
player right now. You're looking for a solid contributor to help you make the playoffs.
Then I don't think that's a good trade. If that's all you're hoping to get out is a guy who gives you 10 and 10 a night, that's not a good trade
this year. And then you can build off of in the future because of that talent and the ceiling.
Here's what I'll say. When I look at the Bobcats, and this is the thing that really just jumps out to me. They've made seven trades now in the 15 or 16 or 18 months or whatever it's been since Larry Brown has come here. 21 players, I think, or something have been traded. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I think Raymond Felton's like the only original.
Raymond Felton's the only one that was drafted the next year.
Yeah.
The thing with the Bobcats is people, and I've had people say this because I wrote a blog post about it on my website the other day, and people are saying, "Oh, you're nuts! What are you saying that this is a bad trade for?" And people are saying the Bobcats haven't drafted well in the first place. What's the matter if they trade a draft pick? Okay, I agree with you, but you can't give up on drafting. You got to draft every year. Yeah. The Bobcats don't have any draft picks at all this coming year. No first rounder, no second rounder. The NBA won't allow a team to give up two first rounders in consecutive years. Yeah. So next year they'll have one. But the following year, they could lose it. It's lottery protected. So if they don't make the playoffs in 2012, that pick goes straight to Chicago. So in two out of 3 years, they could lose a draft pick. Here's my thinking. I don't like how the Bobcats are trying to win now, and in doing so, kind of bartering away their future down the river. You can't do that.
Whenever you hire Larry Brown, you know that's what you're going to do.
It is, and I don't think you've got
to
have a compromise
kind of
there.
That.
Yeah.
I think you got to be committed to drafting. The good teams in the NBA, you're talking Portland, and not just win-loss records. Yeah. I'm talking franchises that are built to win for a few years now. Atlanta, Orlando, San Antonio,
Oklahoma City,
Portland, all these teams, they draft well.
Yep.
And they draft consistently well over a period of time. You might miss a few guys, but you're going to hit on a Tony Parker. You're going to hit on a Manu.
You know what? I never thought I'd say this, but I think the Bobcats, the day they let Bernie Bickerstaff go from head coaching duties and all, I think that's
the biggest mistake they made.
Yeah, I think that was a big mistake because bringing in Larry Brown, you know what? They might go to the playoffs this year much better than Sam Vincent, where they're going previously.
Agreed.
But Bernie Bickerstaff, he was mentoring those players, and he was really developing that young talent. He was not, by any stretch of the imagination, a good coach as far as getting wins out of people. He was good at coaching talent.
You've talked about it, Brandon, and I think you're right on this. The Bobcats were in a position, they almost felt like they had to win now. There was so much pressure with the fan base.
Especially after you just lost a franchise.
Agreed, but you can't do – I think, to me, imagine you don't make the playoffs for 5 years, but you've drafted well for 5 years, and all of a sudden on that sixth year, you have a team like Oklahoma City that is dangerous, and you're going to be good for the next 10 years. So what would you rather have? Would you rather suffer for a few years now and be a contender for the next 10 years, or win once now and then be off and on good for the next 5 or 6 years?
Yeah,
I don't like that.
You know, we've kind of talked about it. Obviously, from the intelligent mind, or from the common sense part of things, you say, yeah, I'll take 10 years of good success over, you know, one or two good years or a chance at a title run, and then falling flat, kind of like what Miami did a little bit. Now they're recovering from that.
Boston's doing it right now. Boston's window has closed very quickly.
Boston's doing it as well. But either way, you got to kind of look at it from, I think right now what this is a front office deal because the team's about to get sold. They've never had a good fan base.
All they're worried about
is still recovering from the Hornets.
Right now.
Yeah, yeah. They're covering their own butts. They're not really looking out for the long term.
I agree with
benefits
that.
Of the team.
But I think you got to recognize that eventually that could come and nip you in the butt. And the thing with that is...
Yeah, it could, but they're worried about keeping their job for the next year.
I don't like how Michael Jordan has brought in a front office that is completely buddy-buddy. I don't like that he's brought in Rod Higgins, that's his best friend. I don't like that he's brought in Larry Brown, that's his best friend.
Well, and if Michael Jordan doesn't buy the team, they're all gone.
No.
Everybody's gone.
The thing is, I don't like that these guys are going to constantly agree with one another. I don't like that these guys are never going to butt heads
You need that argument every
You
once
do.
In a while.
You need that guy that's going to step up to Larry Brown and say, Larry, I know you're a legend, but this is a bad decision.
Stand up and pound on the table and fight for a player that they believe in.
You got to get him off his power trip because he enjoys coming into teams and having his hands in everything. And you got to say, okay, there's a time when you coach and you tell us your needs or what you want, and then there's a time you let us do the rest.
Well, let's look at this real quick. The last three stops, Larry Brown is gone. Detroit. New York, which by the way, that New York team had to be completely rebuilt when D'Antoni went there. Then you're talking Detroit, who had a good title run, but after that, they went nowhere. And then you're talking Philadelphia, who made a run at a title, and then they got blown up. Yeah. So there's three franchises.
The switch from Brown to D'Antoni is just a complete switch in philosophies. Though,
no,
it is. So that's one of the reasons they had to be
completely
turned.
And the Knicks made bad contracts. But either way, there's a cookie trail there.
There's definitely two franchises, if you don't even count the Knicks, in a row where Larry Brown has sacrificed winning later to win now. Because all he cares about, hey, I'm only going to be here for 3 or 4 years. What do I care? I'll win now. Somebody else will clean up the mess. I just don't like that mentality. And I think Bobcats fans, they need to be skeptical. Yeah, they don't need to be eating this cookie dough all the time.
You know that's what you're getting, though, whenever you hire Larry Brown. They made that decision, and whether we have to
live
with
made that bet, you got to lie
No,
now.
You see, I think the front office knows that. I don't think the fans are aware of it. I think the fans need to smell
and
wake. No, they are. I think they need to wake up and smell the coffee.
The thing is, there's not that many fans. So and Larry Brown at least brings that
picking up in Charlotte.
It is picking up now that they're winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that they're winning. Okay, and that's what's going to take a little
think
bit.
About this. How much? How damaging would it be if they make the playoffs this year and then go another 3 years without making the playoffs again? I would argue that
I don't think they'd be in much worse of a position than they were.
No, I would argue the opposite. I would argue that it could have more of a negative impact on the franchise.
It's kind of like the Panthers, too, though, because they start out so well, and then, you know, look at the fan base kind of plummeted because
they
went into disparity. And then now they've kind of started to get some type of consistency.
Yeah.
It's not what they're looking for as one of the premier teams. So it
hurts the fan base because they can't get any traction. They want to cheer for this team, but then what do they do? They always let them down. I just think
it's a slippery slope either way because, the front office is gambling, and who knows, they could all get blown up after this year.
It's hard to step out as a front office and say, hey, you come out and watch, but we're not going to be good for 5 years. So.
Real quickly, there are other teams that made deals in the NBA. Obviously, the Bulls cleared cap room.
Yeah.
They were freaking collecting expiring contracts left and right to try and build to this 2010 free agent class. The Knicks
They have a built team, too.
Let me tell you, that
would be dangerous.
And the Knicks get Tracy McGrady, win a three-way deal with the Kings and the Rockets.
He'll take no money, he said, to play with
He played great in his first game. Yeah. 26 points, I think 8 assists.
I know, I'll include myself and said, okay, yep, Tracy McGrady, yep, all right, whatever. He's probably not going to.
He's washed up.
Yeah, he's washed up. It's not going to happen, but you know what?
You never know.
Granted, it's one game, but still, 26. Points.
The thing
he's fresh because he hadn't played in
the
3 years.
The Bucks, who were a team who were
like Starbucks
on the cusp of making the playoffs, they traded for Salmons from the Bulls, and I think
it's a very good trade for the Bucks.
I think. Yeah. I think he fits in great. Honestly, the Bobcats might not even make the playoffs. They're in the 8th seed now. They're stumbling. They've lost 2 or 3.
That's going to be awful if that ends up happening. That's what you're selling the team on right now.
Exactly.
Winning right now. But if you
I think it's wide open now in the East.
But it's been wide open. And that's been the case. That's the reason why the Bobcats at one point were at the 5 seed. And they could drop all the way down to 9. They could drop down a 9 or 10 seed. Either way, I still think at the end of the day, the Bobcats will make it in because they're inconsistent. But yet, they're about the same level as everybody else. So it's just going to be – I mean, sure, it's going to be a big pile of teams trying to vie for a few spots down at the bottom tier of the Eastern Conference. But either way, I think the Bobcats are going to make it. But if they don't, that will be very damaging to the fan base because they're getting their hopes up. They're making all these trades. And you know what? Teams at some point – I just want to touch on this real quick. Sometimes I think, whether this be right or wrong, sometimes teams make trades just to get buzz going on.
No, they did. And the Bobcats made trades out of
trade.
The Bobcats made trades out of necessity, not out of want. And I think they got taken advantage of a little bit of it because
I think they could have done a better job. I think they pushed a little too hard there.
The other thing I want to talk about real quick as we wrap up this NBA talk is the Cavs. They trade for Antoine Jameson.
I love it.
I think it's good. I mean, it's a great. You'd be an idiot.
Washington's blowing their team up.
Yeah, you'd be an idiot not to not take Antoine Jameson if somebody was offering it to you.
How do you go from a playoff team if you're Washington and that fan base for that matter and have three studs on that team? Gilbert Arenas.
Well, Gilbert's coming back. That's what the owner said. Gilbert will be back in a Wizards uniform.
Either way, they lost 2/3 of that. Plus,
but they're loaded with draft picks now, so now they're going to rebuild around Gilbert Arenas.
I don't know if you want to rebuild around Gilbert Arenas at this point. I mean, as much
that's a big salary that they're going
to. No, it is. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I think they'll renegotiate a contract after everything that's happened. Yeah. I can't imagine them just paying him what they paid him.
Was it $111 million?
Yeah, the other thing I want to talk about
is ugly. Albatross.
People are saying it's going to be Cavs-Lakers, and the trade for Jameson is basically make it happen. It's going to basically lock it in.
Yeah.
The Cavs have lost 3 in a row now after winning 13 in a row, and that rarely happens in NBA history.
I think it'll take a little while for Jameson to get incorporated into the offense, everybody get comfortable. I think whenever this team clicks, it's going to be dangerous.
I think people – I'll say this real quick. I
just love the fit there.
I think he's a good player. But he's not what people are going to expect. At best, he will be the 4th scorer because you're talking LeBron, Shaq, Mo Williams when he gets healthy, and then you got J.J. Hickson who was ahead of him. But Antoine's better than J.J. Hickson.
Yeah.
But so now he's the 4th fiddle on this team. He's not going to go in there and be a secondary player to LeBron James. He's going to be a different type of player.
I think he's willing to do that because he just wants
to win. He's wanting to win.
No, he's willing, but I think people need to temper expectations and expect Antoine Jameson to go in there and drop 30 points a night.
What everybody says, though. You know, if you trade for a 30-point player, then you say, oh, well, instantly, we're going to score 30 more points, or we're going to have that 30 extra points on top of whatever we have.
That's not always the case. Yeah.
Ron Artest has kind of had to temper his game a little bit to fit into the Lakers system.
Right.
I think you'll see that too. But don't count the Lakers and Cavs in it just yet, because you know what? If the Celtics can get healthy, they're a premier team.
There's not a team deeper in the NBA than Orlando.
And then you look, the Nuggets are getting hot, so you better watch out for them as well.
It's going to be interesting right now. Checklist. Let's go, Kazepa.
please.
You got a big smile on your face.
Hey, fellas. Yeah. I was just going to say, hey, I feel like I haven't, you know, been talking
been
at all.
Running
so.
Around.
Yeah,
all
you haven't
been,
like,
been in here. That's why you can't talk.
This show.
Yeah, it's a busy day in paradise, what can I say?
Paradise.
Yeah. Today in 1819, the U.S. acquired Spanish Florida. So something to be grateful for next time you go to Florida. Just remember, we
slow drivers, it. Hurricanes.
Yeah, all the good stuff, right?
There's a lot of Floridians
not
up in Boone right about now.
Florida fan. My dad's from there, so I can make fun.
There you go. Today in 1959, the first Daytona 500 went down, and Lee Petty won it.
Classic.
And if we know Tom Petty, then his brother Lee Petty.
Tom Petty. Right.
Yeah.
You know the Heartbreakers?
No, not the Heartbreakers. The NASCAR driver, man. Come on.
Richard Petty?
Richard Petty. Sorry, I said
Tom
Petty.
Oh,
wow. Embarrassing.
Oh, man.
Sheesh.
Oh, your face is red.
Now I got to move on.
Red. Watch out for the emails from the NASCAR fans. What are you talking about?
Tom Petty and NASCAR driver. In your wildest wet dream, have you ever heard of
it. We've alienated
Heck
all
ain't
of our NASCAR fans. What have you done?
My goodness, I'm so sorry.
Continue.
Yeah. Heartbreakers are driving already.
Yeah, let me continue
that's
breaking hearts.
Crew.
Last night, USA beat beat Canada, part of this year's Winter Olympics, which we talked about.
Yeah,
summer
we
calling
talked about that. You were in there. But
some are calling a second miracle in USA hockey. Today in 1980, USA defeated the Soviet Union in the Winter Olympics in Lake Placid. 2 days later, defeated Finland for the gold.
Russell is not doing a movie on this game.
No, people don't realize that that wasn't the gold medal game.
That wasn't the gold medal game.
We played Finland after that and won. And we were actually down 3-2 heading into the third period. And crazy enough, Herb Brooks, the coach of the team, said, guys, you will take this game to your graves if you do not win this one. That was all he said. He walked out of the locker room. Sure enough, you score 3 goals and you win the game.
Won't take it to their grave.
Yeah. Lastly, guys, we all know how to fist pump by now, right?
I would imagine. Dap? Hope so. Dap?
Fist pump?
Yeah,
No,
just fist pump.
Fist pump. You know, you start down low, you bring it up, and then all of a sudden you're going crazy.
What? No? Who does that?
Jersey Shore, man. Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore?
No.
You watch
no
that?
Idea?
No.
Jersey?
I don't watch it, but if you saw it.
Me neither.
Yeah, of course I never watch it. What are you talking about?
I've seen clips.
I don't watch the whole
I've seen clips of an episode.
I've seen clips like every commercial break.
Oxygen's not saved under my favorites. What are you talking about?
I don't like Golden Girls.
I don't watch Wii all the time. What are you talking about?
All right, guys. All right. So a guy got decked in, a random guy gets decked in the face in one of the episodes by a cast member.
Good story.
And the DVD is coming out, and he begged a judge to stop the sales of the DVD because I guess he didn't want embarrassment of it because this is a big dude. You can find his picture online that got hit.
Who could blame the guy? What's the problem with that?
Right, but the judge ruled no. Do you think she's a fan, or do you think that she's just not down for the cause?
I think she just got annoyed by his accent.
Sometimes you got to own up to your own mistakes, getting bashed in the face.
All right, fellas.
All right. Humiliation. Tiger was humiliated. Talk in front of everybody on Friday.
Yeah, we need to talk about that Tiger speech.
We'll get to that on Wednesday. Also on Wednesday, hopefully we'll be joined by Darren Gant, new beat writer for the Charlotte Observer. He's been with the Rock Hill
Herald. Deal.
That's right. He's joined the Charlotte Observer. We'll be talking to him, App State alum, talking Julius Peppers. The franchise tag has to be slapped by Thursday afternoon. We'll let you know what's going on with that. Also, Tim Tebow. He's changing his delivery.
Oh, he looks good.
He does look good. I'm licking my chops. We'll let you know what's going on with that. We're running out of time. If you can't get enough of our loud mouths, check us out between shows on Facebook and Twitter. You can head on over to wasurocks.com/sportsoutthewazoo to get connected. If you miss an episode, be sure to get updated by catching our podcast in iTunes. Keyword Sports Out the Wazoo for Justin, Blake, Brandon, and myself. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you guys on the other side on Wednesday. Peace.